Welcome to the Stonebridge Community Church online worship service. Today you'll hear the Word of God read, the message from this weekend's in-person service, and two songs to guide you in worship. Thanks for joining us today.
We're in this sermon series called Storytime, where we're looking at the parables of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And the parables of Jesus, they are these short stories. These stories that Jesus would tell that reveal to us an aspect or a glimpse of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is breaking into this world, and we know that when Jesus returns, he will establish his kingdom. But for now, we see glimpses. We don't understand it entirely. So the Greek word, or the word parable, comes from the Greek word that means to throw alongside. So Jesus would take the kingdom of God and throw alongside something that people can understand. Sometimes these parables are short, just a couple of lines. Sometimes they're long and intricate. Sometimes they're not very well known, and you hear one and you say, Jesus really said that? And sometimes they're incredibly familiar. The terms will stand out to you because you've heard them in your everyday life and throughout culture. And this morning, we're looking at one of those famous ones. Maybe the most famous parable Jesus ever said. So I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, and this is also one of those longer ones. But hear Jesus' parable. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me. So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is God's word. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we come before your scriptures now asking that you would speak to us. Through your Holy Spirit, may you open up this word to us. Through this story that you told thousands of years ago, this story that has endured, Lord, teach us. Speak to us. Help us to celebrate. Help us to recognize your grace and to celebrate it, Lord. So Lord, we are listening, and we ask again that you speak. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. So this parable, as I'm sure you all know, is typically called the parable of the prodigal son. And it'd be hard to measure exactly which of Jesus' parables is the most famous, but this one's in the running. It's definitely in the running. It's one of the most well-crafted stories in all of Scripture, one of the most captivating stories in all of Scripture. So it makes sense that it has become as famous and as popular as it has. It's even been depicted in artwork. There's a painting by Rembrandt I want to show you all. Have any of you seen this before? It's fairly famous. I'm going to tell you, I don't know anything about art. I just know Rembrandt is really famous, and he painted this. I learned about this because I read about it in a book. So that tells you about how I engage with art. But think about that. This very, very famous, well-regarded painter painted a picture of this parable that made its way into a book. There's layers of reflection on this parable. And as I said, it's typically called the parable of the prodigal son. And prodigal means free spending or lavish. And I believe that even before I read it, if I had asked you all to recount this parable, you could have at least recounted a good summary of it. You probably would have said something like, a young boy, a son, maybe a young man, we don't really know, goes to his father and says, "Give me my inheritance now," which, by the way, would be a slap in the father's face because he's not dead yet. He's still alive. His son is basically saying, "You're dead to me. I want what is mine now." And the father graciously gives it to him. The son then goes out, wastes it all, spends it all, and then comes to this place where he is envying pigs. And he says, "I should go back to my father." He practices this speech he's going to tell. He goes back to his father. But before he can even say a word, before he's even close, his father sees him in the distance and runs to him, embraces him, puts together this big celebration for him. And then the brother's out there and he gets upset. He's been there the whole time. He's been faithful. And the father says, "We have to celebrate because your son, your brother is back. My son is home." I think that's how most of us would summarize this story, correct? Fair summary? The thing is, that's actually not how everyone in the world would summarize this parable. And I want to ask you a question here. Why did he become envious of the pigs? Why did the younger son become envious of the pigs? What brought him to that point in his life? A writer named Mark Allen Powell, who taught in seminaries, he did a study with some students of his, and he asked them to all recount this parable from memory. And they did. And over 90% of the students he did this study with basically gave the version that I just gave to all of you. And they focused in on the idea of the dissolute living. Dissolute living is there in the scriptures that I read there. And dissolute, it means, can we go to the slide there for that? It means basically without morals. That's what these students all focused on. That's what they lifted up. That's how they told the story. And I think that's how many of us would. Now, the thing was, those students were all American. So they focused on that aspect of it. Now, Mark Allen Powell, later on, found himself on a sabbatical in St. Petersburg, Russia. And he wanted to do the same exercise. So he asked the students in St. Petersburg, Russia, to recount this parable from memory. And he wanted to see what they brought up, thinking that they would have a similar reaction to his American students. Most of them didn't actually focus on the dissolute living at all. Some of them didn't even mention it. What they focused on was the fact that there was a great famine in that region. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I had heard this parable over and over and over again, and I never think about the fact that there was a famine. It's one of those details that I skip over and that I think many of us skip over. In fact, when I just mentioned it, I'm sure at least a few of you thought, I've never actually connected that there was a famine in this story. But that's what people in St. Petersburg focused on more. And it makes perfect sense. In 1941, the Nazi army came to St. Petersburg, and they laid siege to it, and the Nazis basically created a 900-day famine for St. Petersburg. 670,000 people in the city died during those 900 days. That was a quarter of the population. So that famine is part of the cultural history of St. Petersburg. So of course, when they ask the question, why does this younger son become envious of pigs? What brings him to that place? They pointed to the famine. Now, Mark Allen Powell said to them, well, what about the fact that he wastes his entire inheritance? And they all said, well, so what? None of us have inheritances. That just makes him like everybody else. What sets him apart, what makes him worse than everybody else to where he's envying pigs, is the fact that there was this famine. And he had left his father, and he didn't have any connections. The famine is what was the real problem there. That's what brought him to the point of envying the pigs. So you could say, well, we have two ways of interpreting this story now. Some people will focus on the fact that he wastes all of his wealth. Some people will focus on the great famine. But Mark Allen Powell then went to Tanzania years later, country in Africa. And he did a similar exercise with Christians studying the scriptures in Tanzania. And he asked them the question, why does the younger son get to the point where he's envying the pigs? What brings him to that point? And in Tanzania, they didn't focus on the dissolute living. They didn't focus on the great famine. They focused on the fact that no one gave him anything. Again, this might be one of those details that you just look over. Because we've been trained, I think, to focus on the fact that he just wastes all of his money. But in Tanzania, where they were used to not having a lot of food, it was the fact that nobody in the community actually gave him anything. Nobody showed him any generosity. And in their local culture, in that town in Tanzania, there was a strong emphasis on getting through things together. When somebody was going through a time where they didn't have any food, somebody else in the community took care of them. That was the only way they were all going to survive and make it through, was by working together. Three different locations that he went to, presenting the same story, asking them what stands out, asking them why does the younger son get to the point where he is envious of the pigs. And three different answers that they all pulled out from this story. And I have to say, any of those answers can work. And here's the reason this is important. I think that calling this the parable of the prodigal son is misleading. It'll only focus on one of those answers. But other Bibles, if you look at the heading for this, they call this the parable of the lost son. And that's a much better title for this. In fact, for a number of reasons, that's a much better title. This parable is paired with two others that both focus on things that were lost and then found. And twice in this parable, the father mentions that his son was lost and is found. This is the parable of the lost son. And every single one of us goes through moments in life where we feel lost, where we are lost. And sometimes you feel lost because of mistakes you have made, because of decisions you've made that were wrong, because you've squandered the inheritance that God gave you. You've taken some resources God gave you, you used them incorrectly, and now you find yourself at a point where you're lost. You've taken money and used it selfishly. You've taken the intelligence God gives you, and you've just wasted it, not using it for God's kingdom. You've taken the relationships in your life, and you've abused those. Every one of us finds ourselves lost sometimes because of decisions that we've made. But at the same time, we also find ourselves lost because of things that are completely outside of our circumstances, like a great famine. We find ourselves lost because the economy tanks. Your company goes under that you've been working for decades, and you don't have a job anymore. We find ourselves lost because you receive a diagnosis. Your family member receives a diagnosis. Your friend receives a diagnosis. Somebody receives a diagnosis that you had no control over. We find ourselves lost in those moments where we realize how little control we have, like somebody who is experiencing a great famine. And again, sometimes we find ourselves lost because of what people have or haven't done to or for us. We find ourselves lost because of the decisions of others, like somebody who has a community around him who won't give him anything to eat. We are all going to find ourselves lost at different moments in our lives, feeling that sense of being lost. And each of those is valid. Each of those makes sense. But what is important about this parable is, whatever the reason is that the younger son gets to the point where he is envying pigs, it doesn't matter. Whatever the reason is that he gets to that point, to the father, it doesn't matter. He runs to him. Before the son can even give this speech that he's been practicing, explaining everything that's happened, the father embraces him and kisses him. Now, I haven't fact-checked this yet, but I've heard many speakers and preachers say, and I think it's true, that in that culture, a father running like that would have been shameful. That was not dignified. That was not the way an ancient Near East patriarch conducted himself. But this father doesn't care. Whatever the reason is that has brought his son back to him, he doesn't care. He runs and embraces him, and that is the same thing God does for each and every one of us. In those moments where you feel lost, no matter what the reason, God runs to embrace you, throwing his arms around you, reminding you that you are loved, and you might have felt lost, but you have been found. You are embraced. That's the point of this parable. That's, I think, the enduring image, is the father running and embracing his son. That's what matters more than whatever it was that brought them to that point. The father's embrace is what endures in this story. But we can't forget the older brother, because I think there's another way of being lost. The older brother has been there the whole time, but he has lost perspective. The older brother has experienced the benefits of his father, but he has completely lost his gratitude. And sometimes we can get lost in our own judgments of others. We can look at other people and see the way that they're living their lives and say, that's not the way they should be living. We can look at other people and see the decisions that they're making. And maybe in our heads, we don't say that they don't deserve God's grace, but we don't show them grace, which means we act as though they don't deserve God's grace. You can see other people, and you can start to judge them and get lost in your own judgments. But notice that the father's response to the older brother isn't to shame him, isn't to send him away. It's to embrace him and beg him to come and celebrate. Every single person that you come across, God is trying to run towards and embrace. Every single person that you experience, God is trying to run towards and embrace. And we should only be trying to celebrate those moments, trying to encourage those moments, not getting lost in our own judgments, but setting them aside and reminding people that there is a God who loves them dearly and deeply. So at the end of the day, looking at this parable, I don't think the specific reason of why the younger son gets to that point, that very low point where he's envying pigs, matters all that much. It could be his own decisions. It could be the great famine that sets in. It could be the fact no one gave him anything. All of those can make somebody feel lost. But what matters is, to the father, it doesn't matter. Whatever the reason is, God runs to embrace him. And God runs to embrace you. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, it is easy for us to become lost, Lord, whether it's through our own poor decisions, whether it's through circumstances outside of our control, whether it's through the decisions of other people that affect us, whether it's through our own judgments and the ways that we look down on other people. It is easy for us to become lost. But Lord, you run to us nonetheless. Lord, help us to feel your embrace. Help us to know of your embrace. Help us to know that in your presence we are never lost.
Separated. Spirit and world. come with trumpet sound.